It's good to see everybody today. I'm a little more awake than I was when I sat down a while ago and scooted back in that chair. There was a straight pin sticking out, went right in my leg. I don't know, I'll put it back. I think it's holding up something, I don't know why. My talk today is about helping others. We can help others in many, many ways. You can smile at somebody in the grocery store and they smile back at you. And that always helps me, and I think it probably helps them too. You can work in the kitchen here in the church when you feel like it. You can put an extra dollar in the basket for some of the things that we collect for. There's so many things that you can do to help others, and if you just, I don't think about it every day, but every now and then I do. You know, how can I help somebody else? And it doesn't take much energy or money. Most of the time when you make an attempt to help others, it works. Works out good. Some refer to helping others as food for the soul. It helps you. All my life, I've been taught how to help others, and not my mother and father didn't really teach me that in direct ways, but they helped others and they did things for others, and they didn't make a big issue out of it. But I didn't realize how much they were thought of in the community till they died. And all the people that came to pay their respects, and there was a lot of them, they all had a story about my mother or my father. And they died about 10 years apart. But anyway, that really made me feel good that people were telling me these stories about my parents that I didn't even know about. And once when I was a Boy Scout, the Boy Scout manual showed a picture of a little old woman with a cane crossing the street, and it was suggested that we help her across the street if we had a chance. So one time I was downtown, and I saw this woman with this cane, and I just touched her elbow, and I said, "Could I help you across the street?" She said, "Get your hands off me, you little brat. I don't need any help." But anyway, that kind of hurt my feelings. I was kind of shocked. I turned around and went the other way. But you know, sometimes things, most time they work out when you try to help others. After high school, I went to work in a factory. And shortly after that, I began an electrical apprenticeship program. Then about a year after that, I got my draft notice. This was during the Korean War. So I went down and joined the Navy before they drafted me in the Army. So that worked out pretty good. After the Navy, I went back to the factory where I worked and finished my apprenticeship program and became a journeyman electrician. Then, shortly after that, I started school at a Methodist college. When I started college, I didn't really know what I wanted to major in. I thought about becoming a teacher or a preacher, something like that. I didn't know what I wanted to do in life. But I decided to major in history and minor in religious education, religious studies. And the school I went to, Kentucky Wesleyan, they always got requests for students to come and fill in the pulpit when they didn't have a preacher. And they had a lot of small Methodist churches in the area. I decided to take the class that was a combination of speech class and preaching class. And I took that and was later sent out a couple of times to local churches. I was taught in my religious studies that in order to understand scriptures better, you need to immerse yourself into the scripture. That's hard for me to do. The woman at the well, I could kind of identify with her because at that point I'd already had a lot of bad relationships with women. And then the Good Samaritan story, always liked that because I could identify with that. And I wanted, you know, I had not literally been laying on the side of the road, beat up, but I had been in deep holes in my life and people helped me out. So I could identify that. And I'll read the Good Samaritan story. It's from Luke 10:25-37. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. "Teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him. "Do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with an illustration. A Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes and money, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a Jewish priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt deep pity. Kneeling beside him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with medicine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where they took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 pieces of silver and told him to take care of the man. "If his bill runs higher than that," he said, "I'll pay the difference the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go do the same." Well, I kind of like that, and a couple of my sermons or talks at these churches, I took that Good Samaritan story and kind of made something else out of it, I guess you might say. The professor teaching this class suggested that you be a little edgy in your sermons. He said, "Leave them with a message on that they can talk about on the way home." So I tried to do that. So I decided to make up a story, and I think Jesus made that story up, if that all happened. But anyway, there was this church group from Harrisburg, Illinois. They were going to Eddyville, Kentucky to do some shopping the day after Thanksgiving. A lot of sales they were going for. On the way down there, they came upon this wreck. This old van had run off of the road to avoid hitting a deer. They hit a deer anyway. And it was really a mess. There was blood all over the van, all over the highway, every place. And injured people were scattered all over. There were about 10 or more people in this van, in this wreck. And most of them were in bad shape. The group from the church bus got out. They looked around, and they didn't really know what to do. These people looked like Mexicans to them, and they knew that Mexicans were Catholic, and they weren't of that faith. And they also figured they were probably illegal immigrants. So what they did, they prayed over them. Then they got back in their bus and took off for Eddyville because they were afraid they were going to miss a few of those doorbuster sales. Then along came a group of motorcycles, Hell's Angels they were, and they were going down to the Shawnee National Park for a camp out, but they also had some plants down there that they had to take care of. The first thing they did was send somebody to call an ambulance. This was before cell phones, so they had to go to a house and call an ambulance. Then they set about helping the injured people. They covered them up with blankets. They gave them some pain pills that they had with them, Percocet and that sort of thing. And they tried to comfort them until the ambulances got there. So the question is, who was a neighbor to? That's all.